Well, ahead of the federal budget, a coalition of leading advocacy groups was calling for change to negative gearing and the capital gains tax. This group got its wish. In a moment, you'll hear from the Anti-Poverty Centre. But first, let's hear from some Australians about the government's changes.
I think the negative gearing and capital gains tax changes were good. I think they definitely were catering towards young people. Even after they said they wouldn't change capital gains tax, they did. So I am happy about that.
In New South Wales, prices are still like incredibly high. Wages haven't kept up. And I think also that the supply of housing is still incredibly like an issue.
Live fortnight to fortnight. JobSeeker is now $882 a fortnight. On good fortnights, I can put $100 aside to try and save up for a rates payment. I wouldn't have paid my rates on the due date for 2 or 3 years. Part of that's because of the real estate rise in this area. Despicable, that really, that the homelessness thing for women my age is there at all.
I see it as a positive step, but I think we'll also need major investment in social and affordable housing and broader reforms, and if my generation is actually going to have a fair chance.
I think it's ambitious considering our two-party system right now, but I think, I mean, the most ambitious they could have been was completely getting rid of negative gearing and capital gains tax, which they didn't do.
I don't think it was ambitious at all. I think it was responding to what Australians have been constantly showing that they're struggling, right? I don't think it was ambitious. I think it matched what Australians were saying.
Some reaction there to the budget. You're hearing several voices, including Jenny, who's 66 years old, 17-year-old Erica, and Jack, who is 19. Well, Kristen O'Connell is a co-founder of the Anti-Poverty Centre and is also a recipient of the Disability Support Pension and joins me in our studio this morning. Kristen, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks, Sally.
What did you see in the budget for people who may be doing it tough?
Very little. I think it's really heartening to hear that the community understands what's happening in this budget. Of course, it is always the right thing to do to take steps to reduce inequality by giving fewer handouts to wealthier people. But there is absolutely nothing that is going to provide even the slightest relief to the devastating living cost hikes that we are trying to cope with. And we are now seeing consecutive years of the Albanese government utterly failing to even try and live up to its promise on leaving no one behind. And we're hearing a lot about broken promises today. And the most disturbing broken promises are the ones that are forcing people to be held back to live in poverty, and particularly seeing more funding for income control programs that force people, primarily in the Northern Territory and primarily Aboriginal people, to have their income controlled by the government.
What does daily life look like if someone is unable to work and also someone doesn't own their own house?
I think the first thing that I want to point out here is that if you don't have a job, you might be doing a lot of work. So there's a lot of unpaid work going on in our community, and people on social security payments contribute so much. In addition to that, 1 in 5 people on the job seeker payment has a job, and they can't earn enough from the low wages that they're dealing with to get off the job seeker payment or out of poverty. For people who are being forced to apply for jobs, which is what you're required to do to get some of these Centrelink payments, we're also hearing the RBA governor say that unemployment needs to go up for the benefit of the economy. So once again, people are left feeling that they have failed, that individually you are unable to get your life together when all of these structural forces are railed against you. And so there is a deep sense of hopelessness and despair, and especially on days like this, when you can see that the government not only isn't doing anything, but doesn't even seem to consider doing anything or feel it necessary to mention us. We're workers too.
Are there enough changes and improvements when it comes to public housing that you've been looking for?
There are zero positive things to say on that front. Again, great to see that some people who own extra homes will be paying slightly more tax when they sell them. But if you don't do things with that money that actually benefit people who need support, then it doesn't really help, you know? So we're seeing extraordinary cuts to the NDIS that are going to wreak havoc for disabled people and our communities. We're seeing no investment in public housing, which is the fundamental change that needs to happen to really stabilise the private rental market, to ensure all of the extraordinary wait lists around the country can be reduced, and to meaningfully address homelessness. We did see a very tokenistic measure that will put money into the hands of community housing landlords who've been discriminating against young people. And this is being sold as a homelessness measure, but there are no new homes that come with this measure. No more people will be housed as a result of it. It just means we're shuffling one type of homeless person for another.
How do you thread the needle of this politically? This hasn't gone through the parliament yet. Are there discussions on with the Greens in particular to try and get some amendments to some of these measures, or to Velcro other measures onto what will go through?
I love not being a politician. I would urge every crossbencher, including the Greens, to push the government very hard on this. It is unacceptable that we're sitting here with the government. Basically, the Albanese government has essentially made decisions that prioritise future budget surpluses over the lives of people in poverty and disabled people. It is existential for so many of us. The suicide rates for people on Centrelink payments are already extraordinary. We are going to see that go up. So I really urge the crossbench to do their best to intervene and to assert the power that they have.
Just finally, you're on a disability pension support. What's your sense of what's going to happen to those people on the NDIS who are facing some of their supports being cut off?
Yes, I'm also an NDIS recipient, and the rhetoric, frankly, since the Albanese government came to power has been very disturbing. I'm autistic, and autistic people have been demonised by Bill Shorten, by Anthony Albanese and many other people in this government to justify and lay the foundation for these cuts that we're seeing now. I and other autistic people are not going to be the only ones who suffer from these changes, but it's extremely scary time. I know I'm going to lose peers. I know I'm going to lose my support, and I know that my ability to function and participate in society is going to go backwards.
How does that sit for you?
It's devastating to be advocating on your own behalf and on behalf of the people who share your experiences constantly, and to be treated like a number on a balance sheet to be shifted around. We're not economic indicators. We're people who have the interest and capacity and potential to contribute in all sorts of ways, and those contributions are never recognised, and now the little bit of support, the little bit of progress we made is being ripped away.
Kristen, I really appreciate you coming in this morning, not only talking broadly about some of the measures in the budget overnight, but giving a sense from a personal perspective of what it might mean for you and your situation. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Sally.